Welcome to Cardinal Conversations, your source for St. Mary's University of Minnesota speaker events, visiting expert conversations, and more. We're so glad you're here, and we hope you enjoy this presentation.
Dr. Azzaro, thank you so much for joining us for a conversation today. It means a lot to have you here, especially as the Benedict 16th chair here at St. Mary's. Before we dive into our conversation, could you just introduce yourself and tell our listeners about your background?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm extremely happy to be here in St. Mary's. I consider it a gift given me by the luck I had to meet Benedict XVI many, many years ago. I had studied in Germany. I did all my studies in Germany, my PhD there. And I studied there philosophy and history. Then I came back to Rome, where I began to teach first at a Roman university, and then I was called in Milan, where I actually teach. And I came in contact with Benedict XVI because he needed, it's a big word, a translator was needed for his collected works that were that the Vatican Publishing House began to translate. And so the director called me, and my cooperation with Pope Benedict began till 2022, personally with him, and now, of course, we, with the foundation, try to continue and be loyal to his heritage.
Absolutely. First, can you describe what it means to you to be named the Benedict 16th chair here at St. Mary's? Kind of, especially I know that Catholic education was something that was very important to Pope Benedict.
Exactly. This is, at the end of the day, the point. I was not appointed because I personally am an extraordinary intelligent person or extraordinary famous or particularly attractive, but because education, in Benedict XVI's opinion, is the main challenge of the Universal Church. The first duty of the Universal Church is to form the souls, because only so you can really change the world. Yesterday, I have been invited by a colleague of mine and a professor here to a Greek restaurant, a magnificent restaurant, and behind us was a great image written during the riots here in Minneapolis when this young, poor young guy was killed. And as you know much more better than me, revolts began and so on. People closed the shops and protected them. And over this protection, the young who revolted began to write things or make images and so on. And somebody wrote, "We can change the world." And this is one of the most highest and noble desires of the human soul. But if you educate somebody to do it right, then he fulfills one of his, perhaps his greatest human desire and need. But if you don't educate to do it right, then he endangers the life of his neighbors and his life too. So this is, at the end of the day, in the ultimate analysis, our great challenge to educate the souls, to form the consciences in a right way in order to really change the world. And Benedict XVI was profoundly convinced that the Church should invest all its best energies in this duty, moral duty she has.
Absolutely. You know, from your perspective, what should be the primary goal of Catholic education and specifically higher education in today's society?
The primary goal of education in today's society is, in my opinion, to show to the youth that faith has deeply to do with life, and especially to do with a happy life, with a full life, with a life that is worth to be lived. And it is, as you understand, a matter of reharmonizing faith and reason. Sometimes we misunderstand the word faith. We think that it is something very distant or something very abstract. No, Benedict has shown us that faith is first and mainly recognizing the truth of the things, the deep truth of the things. And we are beings that wish to know the truth naturally. And in this process of learning, knowing, we use, of course, our mind, our intelligence. But at the end, we understand that the truth has many dimensions. And to concentrate only on one dimension is too less. So the main task, I think, of the education nowadays is to rediscover the significance and the importance of rediscovering the truth in its integral dimension.
All right. So how can Catholic universities kind of, you know, resist the trend toward secularization and maintain their identity while still being relevant in the modern world?
Well, the Catholic universities have to be aware that by maintaining their identity, they match the deepest needs of the human being, and especially of the youth. This is the absolute necessary starting point of everything. Now, if we are not deeply convinced on the basis of our personal experience, on the basis of our experience as teachers and as educators, that by transmitting this, we fulfill their deepest desires, then it isn't worth to begin. No, then we are as a people that look to the past, that wish only to preserve customs, but it isn't worth to preserve customs. We are there to give them something that they profoundly ask for, and that other institutions, unfortunately, nowadays, aren't able to give.
All right. I'm intrigued with your personal and professional relationship and background with Pope Benedict XVI. Can you provide us with some insights into who he was as a person and what your personal interactions with him were like?
Well, Benedict XVI has been a let me say it, first of all, a priest, a great priest, a priest profoundly convinced of his mission as a priest and convincing the other of his importance. And then he was a genius in his field, in theology, a great Italian musician and director of orchestra, Riccardo Muti, a great name of classical music, said once, when I spoke with him, I had the impression that I could have become a great theologian because I understood immediately the difficult things. Everyone who spoke with him had this impression that he could have become a great theologian, he himself. But the fact is that Benedict was so profound that he succeeded in explaining you difficult things in a very easy way and in a very extremely convincing way. So he has been this, but he has been more than this, a witness. You know? And at the end of the day, this is the point. Today we need witnesses. And he has witnessed, I think, the sacrifice, what sacrifice means, to donate and to fulfill your life by donating, the importance of prayer for you and for the others. Old people, ill people, people lying on a bed are not unuseful. They are deeply, deeply useful in praying. No, they are not simply looking at the ceiling and waiting for their end, but they pray and they, in this way, they contribute essentially to the transformation of the world. I think he testified also this. He lived in Mater Ecclesiae, a monastery inside of the Vatican, prayed. And what I can say, he at the end, the last years, he spoke only with his eyes. No, his eyes has been always his strong point, his weapon, his special weapon. Exactly, because he was not aggressive. He was a humble man, and with the eyes looking at you, he inspired you hope and the deep conviction that you will succeed in your aims if they are good, just, and corresponding to the deepest human of nature of human being.
All right. How has your foundation, the Pope Benedict XVI Foundation, continued his work?
We continue his work in various fields. We support students in their studies with grants. We organize yearly international conferences about subjects that are of interest for the academic and scientific community. We yearly give grants, the so-called, not only grants, sorry, but prizes, the awards, the Ratzinger Awards. And last but not least, we decided to support as much as we can universities that wishes to rediscover a wide comprehension of knowledge. And we decided that in the spirit of Benedict XVI, the best way to serve the universal church is to serve it through the local church. That means that to serve the university as a whole, to serve a particular university that is willing to make this attempt. And so we came here to St. Mary's, thanks to the president, Father Burns. And we hope that we will be useful for you and you by being successful in this attempt to be useful for the whole scientific and academic community.
All right. Can you talk a little bit about the Catholic intellectual tradition and exactly what that is?
Well, Catholic intellectual tradition. First of all, Catholic, universal. That means that embraces all the aspects of human life, not only goes beyond every frontier, embraces human beings, but embraces all aspects of human life. Intellectual tradition means that all these aspects of human life can be investigated and should be investigated by your reason, by observing the reality. And in this sense, we are, the Catholic tradition is perfectly scientific and empirical. But on the basis of the observation, that is to say, Thomas would say, the harmony between observation and intellect that makes the truth, we affirm that this process of knowledge brings you to a comprehension of what is truth, what is real, that goes beyond the pure empirical dimension, pure vertical dimension. And we, as a Catholics, as a Christians, wish to educate the young generation to this entire full idea of knowledge.
All right. Part of your role at St. Mary's as the Benedict XVI chair will be to focus on the Catholic intellectual tradition and help our university learn through the Catholic intellectual tradition. Can you kind of expand on that and, you know, kind of what that looks like for St. Mary's, you know, as a LaSallian Catholic institution?
Well, the LaSallian heritage is, in our opinion, very actual, very modern, for many reasons. I before coming here, I had a look at the last number of the news of the LaSallians, a special monthly newspaper, and the title was "Our Heart is in the Peripheries." And this is absolutely actual. Before, more and more we see that nobody wishes to go there, to go in the peripheries. No.
Right.
So it is a mission. But which is the propulsive force of this mission? Which is the source of energy that permits you with effectiveness, with conviction, with all yourself to go to the peripheries, physical peripheries, spiritual peripheries? And this is at least the point. You know, the LaSallian tradition gives great importance to this bond that unites students and professors, this personal bound. And this being, let us say, a fraternal community to care for a student daily, to see in him, in a special way, your treasure. And we think that in the ultimate analysis, this is the future of the university, not the past of the university. And this experience is possible only in small universities. So that once Ratzinger said, I remember it, on my opinion, the future of the university is in small universities, not in big. Now, of course, the trend seems to say the opposite for many reasons, because the big university seems to be neutral. You go there to get a degree and to learn. How in the shortest time possible, for example, you can earn the most amount of money possible. But we believe that this model has no more future because it isn't more human.
All right. How can you describe how faith complements reason in different academic fields? And what are the risks when reason is divorced from faith or faith from reason?
Well, the best thing to explain it, perhaps to do some examples, perhaps quoting the encyclical of Benedict XVI, On Hope. And he asks himself, what is hope in the final analysis? And he refers that about many projects, especially in the United States, that aim to create a man that lives forever. And this is seen as a fulfillment of hope, of the human hope, of the human desires. But if you think deeply on it, you arrive to the conclusion that you, in this way, offer a man not the paradise, but the hell. Imagine a calendar that never ends, all days the same, one after another, forever. It is a nightmare. No. Hope has to do with more than this. Has to do with the, he says, it is, hope is, with one of his genial images, if you spring in water and it is a moment of satisfaction, of freshness, of joy that lasts forever. This is eternal life, much more than this. And this is our hope. So you have to be, faith and reason, have to be careful to integrate each other and not to become ridiculous by trying to substitute one to each other.
All right. You visited St. Mary's earlier this spring, and you're here visiting again as we celebrate the launch of the Benedict XVI chair. Do you have any thoughts or, you know, on what your experiences have been here at St. Mary's so far? And what do you look forward to?
Well, I was impressed by what I have seen, what I have, the people I met. Yesterday we had a meeting with the doctorates in anesthesia.
Okay.
You know, a fantastic meeting, because it was so clear hearing them that by doing their job, their difficult job, they need both faith and reason to be successful, to be fully human, and to serve fully the people. So I think that it would be a mistake to think that a chair is a place from which we impose something. A chair is a place through which, thanks to various initiatives, we bring to its complete fulfillment what is already going on here. With regard to the good things, beautiful things I personally have seen.
Well, Dr. Azara, thank you so much for your taking the time to speak with us today, and we really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you to the whole university. I hope to meet you again and to really contribute to this, our common effort, as best as I can and as best the foundation I represent can.
Cardinal Conversations is brought to you by the St. Mary's University Office of Marketing and Communication. For more great content, check out St. Mary's Currents, our podcast series on current topics relevant to the world of work and life. Please remember to follow us your podcasts. And thank you for joining us for Cardinal Conversations.